I just want to reiterate something that Denise just brought to us. That's something from God himself, just encouraging us. And as we were worshiping this morning and just focusing our attention on God, I just want to, whoever you are, I want to tell you that God loves you. No matter what you've done or what you think about God, he loves you. Very often, one of the songs we sang was about, "You've never failed me yet," and you might feel that God has failed you. Because we go through life, don't we, sometimes, and we think, where's God in this? Because it's not really what I want. And it's quite a challenge to maintain faith, to understand what God is trying to do, and to sing that you've never failed me yet, yet in our hearts, sometimes we're going, but you have. You've let me down. You've not done the things that I thought you should do. But it doesn't matter that, because God still loves you. You might have let him down. You might have disowned him at times, but God still loves you. And that's the amazing thing about God. And I just want to speak this morning on which God do you believe in? Would also we all believe in the same God? The God that's in the Word. Well, that's the God that we believe in. But if I asked everybody in here who is God, you'd all give me a different answer. What is his promises to you? You would all give me a different answer. And so the challenge of understanding God is knowing that he's speaking to our heart and the reality of him living in us. And every time I was thinking about this, and I do every now and again, if that's okay, I do think every now and again. I was thinking, you know, when somebody like me stands up and we're delivering something to you, what is the point of that? What is the purpose of that? Because every time I stand up, I'm trying to bring something of truth and faith, bring something of who God is into our lives so that we can get hold of it and it begins to work in us. Last week I talked about distractions, and I'm sure there's some of those going on in your life this morning. You can be distracted by thoughts, by circumstances, by stuff that's going on in your life. You can be distracted in this moment, but I would encourage you just to focus for however long it takes me to speak. It's not usually very long, but just allow God to speak into your life, into your heart, and reveal himself to you. So the story, and it's a story that we find in the Bible in Luke, and it's a long story, and I've been debating whether I should read all the lot or not, but I'm not going to. I'll kind of paraphrase it. If you can put it up for us, Jed, and just flick through as I'm going through. This is the story. I love this story. It's always one of those things. When I first read it, it just grabbed my attention, and it began to speak to my heart. And that was a long time ago. And every time I read it, God really reveals something new and fresh to me about it. And this is two disciples. They were on their way to a village called Emmaus. And they were just discussing the events of the, as we would call it, the Easter weekend, the death of Jesus. At that point, they didn't realize he'd been resurrected. They just knew he'd been killed. And so they were chatting amongst themselves, going, what was all that about, you know? We thought that Jesus was going to deliver the nation of Israel. We thought he was going to overcome all the political forces that are living in us, that is the Romans. And we thought that we were going to be set free. That's who we thought Jesus was. And they were chatting away like this. And Jesus drew up with them and began to walk with them. And for whatever reason, they didn't recognize him. I don't know how that works. I don't know. But they didn't recognize Jesus. He'd been transformed through resurrection. Maybe he looked differently. Maybe we don't know. But for whatever reason, they did not recognize who he was. And he began to talk to them about the word that they would have known. So they would have grown up learning the first five books of the Bible. They would have known it intimately. They would have understood it. And he began to reveal truth about what the promise of a Messiah coming was. And eventually, as they came to the end of their journey, it was in the evening, and they said, will you stay with us? It's evening time. We've enjoyed our time together. Just spend the night with us. And as they began to prepare food for their meal, Jesus broke bread. And he said at that moment, they recognized Jesus. There was a revelation, there was a recognition of who Jesus was. And they began to get excited about who Jesus was. Well, then it says he just went. At that moment of recognition, he went, he left them to it. They went back to Jerusalem and sought out the 11 disciples, and they began to say that Jesus is risen from the dead, it is true, and they began to have that discussion about the reality of his resurrection. One of the things that I find surprising, and I don't know whether you do as well, is that when Jesus was on earth and doing the things that he did, and we'll talk about some of those in a moment, why didn't people believe him? Why didn't they see that this was the Messiah, the chosen one, the Son of God who was going to lead the world into salvation? Everywhere he went, he spoke about the kingdom of heaven and demonstrated the power of God through the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that he performed. And yet, as he came to that moment in his life where he was going to be crucified, they were all crying, "Crucify him, crucify him. We don't want him. Set Barabbas free, set that criminal free. We'd sooner have him in our community than we would Jesus." And so there's a turnaround of heart. They didn't see who this man was. It's difficult to see Jesus sometimes. And we're talking about 2,000 years ago when we think, how can we understand God and Jesus? How can we understand the Holy Spirit? How does all that work for us? Because it's so long ago, we can't see it, we can't evidence it, and therefore, who is this God who we are worshipping this morning? Is he real? Does he exist? All those kind of questions can go through our eyes and our minds. And as we look back, we could go, well, they had every opportunity to understand who Jesus was, but they failed to see him. If we just put that slide on, PowerPoint thing, it's coming. Well, there we go. Sometimes when we look at the Bible, that's what it looks like. Sometimes when we try and think about God, don't try and work it out, you won't. Sometimes we look at things, the Bible, we look at God, and that's what it looks like. Just a mess. We can't see what's there. That's one of these magic eye things that they used to do in the 80s and 90s. And there's a ship in there somewhere, the Jolly Roger. It's in there. And I don't know whether you remember trying to actually see the pictures that were hidden. You screw your eyes up and you lose your focus. You go into a trance. You just hope that you're going to be able to see. But I've done that. And I can see the Jolly Roger. It's in there. And that's how the Bible is sometimes with us. There is truth in it. There is the reality of God in it, but we can't see it. We need some help. And in our natural lives, you know, sometimes life can be very difficult. It can be confusing. We can't see a way forward. We can't see an answer or a solution in our circumstances. And it's not until we begin to ask people for help, and sometimes just talking it through, suddenly an answer appears. We see a way forward because somebody is helping us. And the more I read about the first disciples, and I'm sure you've come to this conclusion as well, the more I see they didn't really fully understand who Jesus was. When Jesus was crucified, the disciples were left in disarray, even though Jesus had been telling them throughout his period of his ministry that he was going to rise again on the third day. Now, to us, when we read that, it's like obvious, isn't it? That's what he said. What was wrong with them? But they just didn't see it. And so seeing God is more than understanding. And I'll touch on that in a little while. So in verse 30, Verse 30 of the passage that we've just referred to. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Jesus had been there all the time. You know, we often make reference that God never leaves us, he never forsakes us. And when we look at the promises of God, that is certainly true. He's a God that wants to live in our heart. He wants to be partaking in everything that we do. He's always with us. But sometimes we don't see that. We just don't see it. Maybe in the circumstances that you're in, you're thinking, where's God in this? And I want to tell you this morning that he stood right next to you, that he's with you. You just sometimes don't see it. Your thoughts may be similar to the disciples. I thought Jesus was going to be something completely different than this. I thought that God was going to sort all my life out, that he was going to take all my pain away, that he was going to provide everything that I need or everything that I want, and we can be disappointed in God at times. Jesus began to open the scriptures up to these two followers and began to make sense of what had happened and why. And when they came to that moment of recognition, it all kind of fell into place. It made sense. So our natural understanding of who God is and what we think he should be doing can very often lead us away from the truth of who God is. Like I said right at the start, if I asked each one of us, who is God, we would get many answers. If we asked about what is the promises of God, we would get many answers. See, our humanity, our human thinking, cannot work out who God is or who the God that we believe in is. I've just put a line in here. If we try to fit God into our own thinking, and that's what many of us do, we think this is what God should be doing. This is how God should be treating me. This is what should be happening in my life. Then our car park would probably be full of Ferraris and Rolls Royces, because that's what we think God should be doing in our lives. And sometimes, I mean, we talk about the name it and claim it kind of religion, where we can say God gives us everything that we need. God has promised to do that, and yet I'm rolling up in something different than a Ferrari. We try and squeeze God into how we think he should be behaving and acting, but doesn't it tell us in Scripture that his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours? That his thinking, his behavior is completely different than ours, and that's the bit we struggle with at times. We need help to see who Jesus is, and we need to go to him to help us do that. See, it's our spirit that recognizes who Jesus is, not our understanding. And if you've ever tried, or if you've ever had a conversation with somebody who just can't see Jesus, you can't persuade them that he is real. You can't persuade them that he can transform their lives. You can't persuade them that he can forgive their sin. Because human thinking doesn't operate in the spiritual world. And so God is a spirit and he speaks to us by his spirit. Later in the chapter, verse 44, this is what it says. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that it is written about me in the law of the prophets and the Psalms." So he was saying to them, this is what I've already told you. And then it says in the next verse, he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. The Bible, the scriptures, can be quite difficult to understand. And I'm sure anybody that's tried to read them would agree with that. Even as believers, sometimes we don't get what God is trying to say to us. But as Jesus was talking to the disciples, he began to open their minds, began to help them understand something of the scriptures, the reality and the truth of what they had been reading. Information needs revelation to become a reality. As Jed often says, when he was studying theology, there were people there who had no faith whatsoever. They were just studying theology. They were studying about God. They needed revelation for that information to become a reality in their lives. And this morning, we've got a great opportunity for the information that we have to become a revelation in our hearts, so it becomes a reality in our living. 1 John 5:20 says this. And we know, this is the New Living Translation, it might be slightly different than the one behind me. And we know that the Son of God has come, and that he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in the fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the only true God, and he is eternal life. Jesus has been given to us because he reveals the heart of the Father. And as he lives in us, we fellowship with God. We are at one with God. John 1:11 says this, he came to his own people and even they rejected him. In a Bible I've got, the Passion Translation, it says, he came to the very people he created, those who should have recognized him, but they did not receive him. So everywhere that Jesus went, there was this tremendous demonstration of the kingdom of heaven. In speech, in what Jesus was saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And that immediately began to attract all those that were non-religious, because it wasn't about religion, it was about something different, this kingdom of heaven that Jesus was talking about. He demonstrated through miracles, through overcoming the power of Satan. He was a living example of the kingdom of heaven, and he lived amongst his people. And as this scripture said, he came to the very people that he created, those who should have recognized him, but they didn't. It's difficult to perceive that as we look back. But I love this verse in John 21, verse 25. Because really, in the Gospels, we're getting a snapshot of what Jesus did. And it's, some of the stuff he did was just miraculous, wasn't it? It was just mind-blowing. And John said this, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose even the whole world would not have been room to for the books that would have been written. So we don't really know the extent of Jesus' miraculous life on earth. John was saying that's just a bit of it. If we wrote it all down, the libraries in the world wouldn't be big enough to contain all that he is. But they didn't recognize him. And the challenge of the message today, I suppose, is the same as all those years ago, is how do we recognize Jesus? And we still need a moment of revelation to see him. See, God is a spirit, and he speaks to us by his spirit. For us to see him, we need some help. And again, in John, which is a great few chapters on the work of the Holy Spirit, it says this in John 16:13-14, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but he will speak of only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So the Holy Spirit is our helper, and he helps us in all these matters. When we can't see Jesus, we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal into our hearts Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. And this is our cry, this is our desire, that day by day he opens our heart eyes so that we see him. We have that moment of revelation that transforms a situation. It transforms our reality. There's a great scripture, isn't it, when Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said to them, "Who do you think I am? Who do you think I am?" Some say you're one of the prophets. Some say this, some say that. But what are you saying? What do you say that I am? Who am I? And Peter said this, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response was, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." In other words, Peter could only say that you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God, because he had had a revelation in his heart that brought the reality of who Jesus was to Peter. We can't work it out. Even though they were living with him, they still couldn't work out who Jesus was, but it was the Father in heaven who revealed the reality of Jesus. So our challenge as 21st century Christians is seeing Jesus. Do you see him? I'm not talking about with our eyes or with our understanding, but with our hearts. Because that's where he lives. It says we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We, our bodies, our spirits is where God lives. He lives in us. And the Holy Spirit opens up the truth of who God is to our hearts. And if you're really struggling to see Jesus, either in circumstances, as God, our Savior, in whatever state you are at the moment, just know that Jesus is there. He's walking with you. You just can't see him. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you see him. And the great thing about the Holy Spirit is that he gently opens up our hearts, and he speaks to our understanding as well, so that we can step forward in faith and just see Jesus more clearly. I don't know whether that's resonating in your heart this morning. Let's just pray, because we do want to see Jesus. You might have some questions for Jesus. That's okay. You just need to ask him to open the eyes of your heart. Father God, we just, first of all, we want to thank you that you're God. We want to thank you that no matter where we are in life, no matter what our past or what we consider our future to be, that you are right next to us. You want to impart something of who you are into us. You want to transform our thinking, our behavior, our attitudes. You want to heal us in every way, physically, spiritually, emotionally. You want to do all this. But sometimes we just can't see you. We don't know what to believe in. We don't know where to put our faith. And this morning we just ask that you open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, so we can see you clearly in our daily living.